Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
I wanted to tell you about this guy I was listening to over the last few days. He's a Navy SEAL. And he's been a Navy SEAL for like 30 years, and he had all of these stories. And how many of you, you know, we think we're tough until we hear what somebody else has gone through? And then we realize we're not so tough. I'm like, yeah, I can do 25 push-ups in a row. And he's like, that doesn't even get you to breakfast. And then I'm done for the day, you know? And so a lot of times we think we have these issues and we think we have these troubles and we have these trials, but there's more to the story. So for this particular message, I'm going to need a little bit of help. Yeah, if you guys put that stuff right here. Who wants 20 bucks? Who wants 20 bucks? Who wants 20 bucks? You want 20 bucks? Yeah? Will you help me today? Come on up here. Come on. Yeah. The problem is I don't have 20 bucks. Who has 20 bucks? Chris, you got 20 bucks? Now come here. She's out. She's like, I'm out. You just stand right here. So here's this. I'm going to keep it right here for safekeeping, right? And all you have to do for the 20 bucks is hold this out like this while I talk. But you can't let it go down. You just got to hold it like this. Can you do that? Okay, but don't let the bell ring. You just got to hold it real still. Are you comfortable? You can do that? Okay. What's your name?
Kylie.
All right, cool. Kylie's earning 20 bucks. How many of you know Kylie's already doing a great job? And sometimes things are a little bit harder than they look. So let's talk about Daniel. Daniel is a whole book in the Bible. And if you go to Daniel 1, Daniel is one of these four kids. And these four kids are living in Jerusalem when King Nebuchadnezzar takes over. He comes and he takes the country captive. He defeats them in war. And he takes Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and brings them to another country. So basically, they are POWs. They're prisoners of war. They get taken away from their family. They get taken away from their home. They get taken away from their friends. They get taken to a country that speaks all these different languages. They get taken to this place where they don't eat the same food. They don't have the same culture. They don't even worship the same God. And if we look in verse 6, what happens when the king sees them, he says, okay, yeah, you don't even get to keep the name that you had. I know they called you Nicole in St. Louis, but now that you're this prisoner of war in another country, we're changing everybody's name. And Daniel, you're going to be a Belteshazzar. And Hananiah, you're going to be, let's call you Shadrach. Mishael, we're going to call you Meshach. And Azariah, we're going to call you... We're going to call you Abednego. So they don't even get to keep their own names. A lot of times in life, it feels like we're going through these trials and these problems. And when we're going through them, I'm going to bring these trials and these problems a little closer to home. Because how many of you know, sometimes it seems like trials are real close. They don't bother to stay far away. And when you set them up, it always seems like the setup... It always seems like the setup is harder if you're trying to get through here without ringing the bell. What does ringing the bell have to do with anything? Well, you see, when I was talking to the Navy SEAL, he said they go through 6 months of training. And the training you start in San Diego, and the weather's really temperate if you're a normal person, but if you're a Navy SEAL, you start your day in the ocean every day, especially if you didn't make your bed right, or you didn't line all your buttons up. Or if your pillow was just a little bit off, or if the corners weren't tight enough, or if your shoes weren't spiffy enough, or if your belt was a little bit crooked. So all they had to do, what's your name again? All Kylie has to do to get out of this, not get the 20 bucks and not win, all the Navy SEALs have to do to get out of it, all you got to do to quit is ring the bell. You see, the Navy SEALs, if they didn't get everything perfect, they had to do a sugar cookie. Now, sugar cookies sound delicious, but what they really were is you had to put on all your army gear, you had to run into this freezing cold water, you had back on the beach, you rolled in the sand. Anybody ever go to the beach on purpose and you got sand in a place where the sun don't shine? and immediately fix that problem. Amen? They get sand everywhere. They don't get to fix the problem. They have to stay in those clothes all day as they begin their 6 miles run, as they begin their calisthenics, as they begin the drill sergeant yelling at them, as they begin all of these drills. They wear those clothes all day long. There's one point in time where they have to run through this mud, and what they know is when they run through the mud, they are literally going to sink up to their neck. And they sink up to their neck in the mud, and then the drill sergeant comes by and says, and this is where you're spending the night. You see, over the night, the temperatures get really cold, and all you can hear is the chattering of the teeth. And they're literally freezing to death. Hypothermia is flirting on setting in, and the drill sergeant comes by and says, boys, you don't have to live through this. You don't have to do it any longer. All you do is get up, ring that bell, set your helmet down. You don't have to answer any questions. You don't have to give us any reasons. You just ring the bell, and you can walk away from all the problems. I think so many times the enemy is the same way with us. He's like, baby, I know that trial looks hard. I know this marriage is difficult. I know those children are acting crazy. I know that addiction is stalking you. I know this work is too hard. All you got to do is walk away. Ring the bell. I'll leave you alone. It'll be better. And you can have it easier. You see, it seems easier right now. It seems like Daniel and his friends were walking through the hard part. And they could have walked away. They could have just submitted, but they stood up. Everybody said, stood up.
Stood up.
Tell your neighbor right now, tell them, don't ring the bell.
Don't ring the bell.
So things started getting a little bit better. You okay, Kylie? Okay. Things started getting a little bit better. And as you didn't hear nothing. You try and do that. This girl's a boss. Come on. You need help. Let's see. Who do you think, who would want to help Kylie out? Who wants this girl to win 20 bucks? Who's going to help her out? Come on, I want to see somebody who's going to help her out. Come on, you right here? Come on, you come up here. What? You tell everybody your name. Neil is going to stand right here behind her. And then, no, Kylie, gotta hold your arm out. Neil, you just make sure her arm doesn't fall. You got to have the right people around you in life. You see, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had the right people around them. And if you have the right people around you in a trial, if you have that eye connect around you when things go bad, when you have the people who are going to come and support you and they're going to hold you up and they're not going to be like, well, I'll hold you, but you're going to have to split the 20. When you've got God with you, when you've got the right people with you, what you couldn't do before by yourself, is it a lot easier now? It suddenly gets easy. You see, so Daniel and his friends are in this situation, but it suddenly starts to look better because the king brings them all in and he says, here's what I'm going to do. You guys are really smart. I'm going to train you. I'm going to make you guys leaders. You're going to be POWs, but you're going to be POW. You're going to be POW people, but you're going to be empowered. You're going to be POWs with power. So you might think that you're a prisoner to something right now, but even in the midst of what looks like the trial, what looks like the temptation, and what looks like the prison, what looks like the problem, God says, even though you look like a POW, you've got the power of the Holy One on the inside of you. It's coming up out of you. And we start walking through the trial, and as we're walking through the trial, and we're trying not to ring the bell, things can get more difficult. You see, because as the boys are working together and they're getting ahead of the game, what happens is there's this, some other wise guy who's actually from their country, and he messes up. And so the king is so aggravated, if they'll put up Daniel 2 verse 12, the king tells everybody, hey, I am so mad and I am so furious. What I'm going to do, I'm going to execute everybody in the program. Go ahead, kill them all. Kill them all. Kill Kylie. Kill them all. I mean, they didn't do anything. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they didn't do anything, but they were about to be executed. Sometimes the trial we're going through isn't fair at all. I mean, I've been eating right or better than everybody in my family. I've actually been going to the gym. I've been giving it everything I got at my job, and I've been pouring into the marriage, and I've been pouring into the relationship and getting nothing back. And even though I'm walking through this, even though I'm not ringing the bell, it's just not fair. Have you ever been there? ring the bell. So there was this pro athlete, not pro athlete, but like this college athlete who's really good, and he was going into Navy SEAL training. And so he asked the SEAL, it was months before he went to training, he said, "What do I do to prepare? Can I do more sit-ups? No. More push-ups? No. Lift more weight? Mm-mm. How about if I run more? No." He said, "Man, what do I do to prepare?" He said, "The only thing you do is you never ring the bell. All you got to do is just not quit. Just not give up on God. Just not let the enemy take an inch because he's coming for a mile. Don't tell him I'm going to take it because it looks easy. I'm telling you right now, quitting seems easy. The pain is gone for the short term, but it then begins for the long term." So with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, things had never looked so great when they were in the leadership program. And then things got worse. Things happen like that. I remember when we were buying the Sunset Hills campus. And right before, we didn't know that we were getting it. There was no contract on it. We had been talking to them for months. And it seemed like it was getting close. But for the first time in 60 years, this house and 7 acres came up for sale that bordered the property. And throughout the years, there had been a love-hate relationship with the previous church and that property, because how many of you know churches make noise? So the father had passed. He had given it to the children, and he told the children, "If you ever sell this house, you have to offer it to the church first." The kids didn't want to do it, and they were sure they could get more money out of somebody else, so they offered it to the church. Well, the kids didn't know the church was selling to us, so the church called us and said, "Hey, I know we don't have a deal yet, but I'm telling you right now, whatever you have to do, buy that house." It was $650,000. How many of you know when you're trying to buy a $7 million campus to do a $5 million renovation, and you don't have any of the money in your account, $650,000 is everything. There was never a worse time to step out in faith. There was never a worse time. What happens if we don't get the church? What happens if we don't come to terms? What happens if we don't close? Then we own a house for a church that isn't even ours, and like an expensive house. All this property. Can we sell it? Can we get it back? When you go to step out in faith, you can't step out on what you see. You can't step out on what you see. No, God's asking you to believe him when there's nothing that you can see to believe. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, if you can put that up on the screens for us right now. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, it says, "Don't look at the things that are seen, not what you can see. Well, it looks like if I just quit the job right now. Well, it looks like if I just stop trying in the marriage, they'll probably just go away. But I tried everything, and it seems like the doctor says nothing's going to work. I might as well just live my days the way I want to live my days and forget this." No, we look not what is seen, but the Bible says you look at what is not seen. Because, why? The things that we see, that's temporary. I'm here to tell you right now, I do not care what your doctor said. The diagnosis is temporary. I don't care what legal trouble you're in right now. I'm here to tell you the situation is temporary. I don't care the addiction stalking you right now. I'm telling you the condition is temporary. I don't care who's hating on you right now. I'm telling you the condition is temporary. Whatever you do, don't ring that bell. You stand up, you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and you say, "I believe in you. I can't do it, but you can do it in me." And he will come and he will help us. Somebody go ahead and praise him. Quitting seems easy, but you never back down from the fight, because the fight's not going to go away. No, you can't just wake up one day and say, "Well, you know, I'll just wait it out." No, you can't wait out and do nothing. You wait out and you act by faith. So with the Navy SEALs, one of the things they have to do is they have to get into the water in San Diego, in this one area that is shark infested, not with just regular sharks, but with great white sharks. They get in there at nighttime so they can't see anything. And they tell them, "Hey, guys, here's what we're going to do. You're going to tread water all night long." Now, they know they're in shark-infested water, so everybody starts freaking out. And they said, "So here's what you do if a shark starts to circle you." They said, "If you start to swim away, that's equivalent to ringing the bell. If you try to get in the boat, That's equivalent to ringing the bell. If you try and move away from the shark, that's equivalent to ringing the bell. They said, what you do if a great white shark starts to circle you is you wait until he charges you and then you punch him in the face. How many of you like, I'm ringing the bell. I'm ringing the bell. I'm out. I'm ringing the bell. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were with Daniel, and they got raised up to this place. And what happens in Daniel 3 is the king puts this decree in place that says, hey, I made this huge statue to myself, and I love it. And I think everybody should bow to it, like at least once a day, because I'm the king. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this decree in place. Well, what happened is those guys got lifted up, and there were these haters over there. Here's the thing we got to know about haters. Haters going to hate. It's what they do. It's how they act. It's in their blood. Nothing that you do is ever going to make them happy. So if you ring the bell, they're going to hate on you because you quit. So you might as well stay being who you are, stay doing what you're doing, because they're going to stay hating on you anyway. So there were these haters that were looking after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they didn't like them. So they told the king when they didn't bow to the statue, and so the king called them in. And he said, hey, guys, in verse 15 of Daniel 3, he says, every time you hear the horn, every time you hear the flute, every time you hear all this music, here's what you do. You fall down and you worship the image. And I get it. You didn't understand. You didn't know. I mean, I should just ring the bell for you right now and take you out, but I'm giving you some grace here because, like, I'm the king and I'm cool and all. So I'm giving you a second chance to line up with what I said. So when I play the music, you bow before the statue, and we're good. Like, we're back. We're in again. But if you don't, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace, and I'm going to get rid of you because you're kind of a problem. You know, the enemy will come and try and make a plan with you and say, I know you're really close, and I know you're not getting any love in your relationship, and I know that person at work is really just all you need to do. It's going to be okay. People will understand if you just get some of your affection from them. And I mean, I know that things aren't going right in your marriage, so if you go ahead and watch these films when nobody's looking, it's going to be just fine. And I know it's hard with the pain and all, so if you go ahead and you do just a little, just smoke just a little bit, you know, just enough to get by, and you drink just enough to make you sleep, it's going to be fine. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to get you to just ring the bell, and we don't even think we're ringing the bell. He's like, I'll give you another chance. It'll help you get through. It's just for this time. But I'm telling you, it's not just for this time. There is a trap of the enemy trying to keep you in the same place over and over again. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't ring the bell. The devil even tried to make Jesus quit. In Matthew 4, sure enough, Jesus just gets baptized. You telling me I just get baptized, the devil coming after me? Sure, baby, because he doesn't want you to get what God's coming to you. So he's just baptized, and he goes out intentionally to get tempted in the desert, 40 days of fasting. And while he's in the middle of his holiness, he's been fasting, he is praying, he has never been so holy. You might be thinking that right now. It's like, I'm in an iConnect, I've been through Growth Track, I am serving, I am tithing, I've been a Christian 2 months, and I have never been in a place any better than this. The enemy's still going to come. He's going to see if he can get you to ring the bell. He did it with Jesus. He said, all you got to do, man, I know you're hungry. I know you're Jesus. I know you got miracle working power, man. Just use your miracle powers. You see, he's going to try and make it seem easy, like maybe we should. All you got to do is turn the stones to bread. You get something to eat. No, Jesus is not following that. Men should not live by bread alone. He said, okay, well, we'll just put you up on this tower, and you just prove your power to me then. I just throw yourself off. Angels going to lift you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Come on, that's the scripture. Let's quote the scripture together. Jump off. I'll leave you alone after that. So easy. Just doing your own promise. The enemy will try and use the word against us. Then he said, well, you won't do that. Let me tell you, all you got to do is bow to me, man. All you got to do is bow to me. You bow to me one quick time. You just ring that bell one quick time. Nobody's looking. Only you and me know. Only you and me know. And you don't even have to do the cross. You bow to me, you miss all the pain, you just ring the bell, nobody knows, you miss the pain, and we're good. If the devil is going to come after Jesus, if the devil is going to come when Jesus is fasting and praying, Come on, somebody. The devil is coming with the trial, and he's coming with the temptation. And I'm telling you right now, tell your neighbor, don't ring that bell. Is it easier now, Kylie? You doing okay, Neil? She's got no problems now, does she? And you know, you can't get out of the trial by making a U-turn in a tunnel. When you make a U-turn in a tunnel, all you see is what you've already seen. All you get is what you've already had. The land you take is the land you've already possessed. The only way out of the trial is you walk through the trial. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, why don't I fear any evil? Oh, because the Lord is with me. His rod of protection and his staff of his covering, they've got us. We got to go through. Everybody say, I'm going through. Have you ever missed an exit on your GPS? So I forget where in the world I just was. Oh, we were down in Miami for a conference, and we were going, and my husband was driving. He was doing his part right. I was navigating, but to give me some credit, Siri was navigating. I was just doing what Siri said, yeah. Right? And it was confusing. There were these three lanes. It looked like we went in the straight turn lane, but we were actually supposed to be in the far left turn lane, and I didn't know it until we were about 100 feet past where we were supposed to be. You ever look at what Siri tells you to do and like, Siri, that is a really good idea, but I know these roads. I mean, you're telling me to do something fast, but I know something faster, and you do what you thought and it takes longer? You see, the thing about the plan is every time we step back from the plan, just like on your GPS, the end is still the end. The destination is still the destination. Every time we make a wrong turn, we still got to come back. The destination never changes. It just takes longer to get there. Yeah? Come on, somebody. And you don't want to stay there too long, because when you stay there too long, pausing in the process only postpones the positive and elongates the pain. Don't pause in the process. You got to keep going. You got to face it. And I know that the heat gets turned up. I know that it gets tough. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're back in Daniel 3. And in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they decide to go into the fiery furnace. And they answer the king in that scripture. They're not worried about it whatsoever. They said, you know, it's cool. It's cool that you want to throw us in the fiery furnace. And we're going to make it through there. In Daniel 3, 16 through 18. They said, we don't even have to answer you on this point. Here's what's going to happen. Our God can deliver us from the fiery furnace. Our God can deliver us from the trial and the temptation to get out of the trial. You think we just got to bow when you're looking and we'll just keep it in our hearts. No, we're not going to worship God in our hearts and not outside in our life. We're going to worship God in our life. Our God is big enough to take care of the fire, and our God is big enough to take care of through. And God is big enough to take care of you. Can I get an amen? It says in Isaiah 43:2, I love Isaiah 43:2. It says, when you go through the deep water and great trouble, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you're not going to drown. When you go through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. I'm telling you right now, God knows that we're going to have a problem, and he's not going to just magically whisk us out of the problem. He said, I want you to trust me to go through whatever I take you through, because if I put you in the fiery furnace, just like I did those three boys, I got a purpose for it, and you're going to go through it, and you're not going to get burned, and you're going to come out not even smelling like smoke. God can take you out of the hospital. He can take you off the surgery bed. He can snatch you out of the courtroom. He can pull you out of jail. Let them accuse you of everything you didn't do. God has got your back. You just stand strong. You never move. You don't ring the bell. You just say, God, I got faith in you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Devil, you bring it on. I'm not scared. I will not fear. My Lord is with me. He's bringing me through the fire. He's bringing me through the flood. He's bringing me through the famine. He's bringing me through no money. He's bringing me through cancer, because he's God and he never fails. Somebody praise him. Woo! I feel chains breaking off. feel chains breaking off. I feel chains breaking off. I feel destinies turning. I feel courage rising up. I feel strength coming. I feel the Lord moving. Do you feel it? Woo! Come on, Holy Spirit. I know. Do your thing, Lord. I was driving to church a couple days ago, and there was a squirrel in the middle of the road, and I am an animal lover. I know some people hunt, and I don't get it. I don't understand it. I couldn't do it. I would, like, go out and have to, like, if I went with somebody hunting, I'd have to, like, pray and resurrect the animal. And so this squirrel comes out, and he sees me, and he's in the middle of the road, and I see him, and I'm like, move, baby. Move, baby. Move, baby. Move, baby. Move, baby. Move, baby. That's what I'm saying to you right now. You're in the middle of the trial, and I'm telling you, move, baby. Move, baby. Move, baby. Move, baby. Move, baby. Move, baby. The squirrel didn't move. So I swerve. And then he finally moved. The wrong way. I'm telling you right now, don't get stuck right here. Don't get stuck right here. Don't get stuck right here. Don't move too late. Don't move the wrong way. I'm telling you right now, by the Spirit of God, you are supposed to move. You are supposed to go. You are supposed to flow. I don't have enough time to get this whole message out. I'm going to have to finish this at the 10:40. Every service today is going to be different, Julie. We're going to just have to put them all on the web. Because God has told me that He's got a purpose in this. He's told me that He wants to move on some people. He's told me that it's time to get through this thing because there's a blessing on the other side that He's wanting us to get to. There's this prize that He has for us. There's this peace that He has for us. There's this joy that He has for us. And He's tired of us living in the trial. He's saying, baby, go through. Stop turning around. Baby, be strong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So my ex had this drug situation, so... But what they do is, when they're on drugs, is they borrow your car. They steal your car. They use it for a little time. When they're done using it, because they only get it for a time, they leave it somewhere. They find it. They impound it. You come, you get it back. And so one time that happened to me, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I didn't have my car. And I was living through the weekend, but then it was Monday morning. My ex is somewhere using drugs. I'm completely out of money. I'm a single mom. I have no choice. I got to go to work. So that's when it got serious. So I didn't know where he got his drugs, but I had ideas. So we just started cruising neighborhoods and looking for my car. 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. You see, I had to be at work at 8. I had to find my car. And I'm driving. Finally, off of Manchester and Kings Highway, I find this little neighborhood right off Kings Highway, just kind of behind what used to be this gas station. And we drive down that road. I said, stop, there's my car. So my girlfriend who's with me, she said, great, what are we going to do now? Do you know where he's at? And I said, I have no idea. She's like, how are you going to find out? I said, I'm going to stand in the middle of the street, and I am going to scream his name till he comes out of the house. She said, you're going to get shot. I said, well, then you better hide because I need my car, and I got to go to work. So I got out of her car. She got in her car. She turned around, and she drove away. I looked around and there was a beer bottle on the curb. I picked it up and I broke it on the end of the beer bottle. And I don't know how to fight, but at least I had a weapon. And I stood in the middle of the street and I started calling his name. Calling his name. Sometimes you gotta call the devil out. Windows and calling me everything but what I was, and I said, I'll shut up when you send him out. All I need is my keys. They'll shoot you for being there. They'll kill you for being there. You're not going to live through this situation. I don't care. I'm coming through. I'm not staying here anymore. I'm going to what God called me to. And I'm telling you, don't stay in the neighborhood and don't stay in the trial and don't stay in the temptation and don't stay in the job. It's time to rise up. Don't ring that bell. You raise your hands to Jesus and you declare the promise. Because when they looked in that fire, there was a fourth man. And they say, who's that fourth man? He looks like the Son rise. Woo! And now I'm going to pray for you. That fourth man in the fire. The fourth man in the fire. There's no work for him to work it out. There was no issue for him to help out Kylie. There was a blessing waiting for Kylie the whole time. She got it. Because there was somebody bigger. There was somebody stronger. There was somebody able. There was somebody willing. There was somebody present. There was somebody who never left her. There was somebody who never forsake you. And that's who Jesus is, and that he wants to be in your life. So if you're standing, continue to stand, and everybody go ahead and stand up. If you don't know Jesus as Lord of your life, I'm going to give you the opportunity to meet him. I'm going to introduce you by a prayer. And this prayer makes heaven your home after this earth. It means no promise. It's in the Bible. It doesn't belong to you. No, it doesn't stay away from you. No, it's yours. You get to keep it. You get to claim it. You get to stand on it. It means God is present with you and he's helping you. You're never alone again. If you've never prayed that prayer, or if you slipped away from God and, you know, like I was there and then I was out and I was crazy and whoa, what now? Today is the day to recommit to God. And when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand with me and we're going to pray a prayer together. One, two, three. Raise your hand high if that is you today. You're making Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we receive you into your heart. Say this. Say, dear God, I need you to lead my life, to lead me through the fire. Don't leave me where I am. Take me from where I've gotten myself. Jesus died to save me. So I will live to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen and amen. Go ahead and worship him for those decisions. Worship him for those decisions. And now that you're right and you're in right standing, if you're in a trial, I want both hands up because we're going to break that today. Do you believe that God can break it?
Yes.
Do you believe he can break it today?
Yes.
Do you believe that you're here on purpose?
Yes.
Do you believe this word was for you?
Yes.
Do you believe if nobody else was in this church, this word was for you?
Yes.
That faith and expectation, we're taking it to God right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that yokes are broken. They're destroyed, a million pieces. We have faced that affliction, but according to Nehemiah, you say you will never face it a second time. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And I bind that up in the name of Jesus. And I loose the power of heaven. I loose the power of light. I loose the power of God. I loose the blood of Jesus. I loose the Holy Ghost. Change it. Rearrange it. Line it up. And we thank you for your deliverance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today?
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.